Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Word of Mom Radio. I'm Dori DiCarlo, and we are debuting a new show in our Tuesday business lineup. And I am so excited to be welcoming Kaz Winters, the sneaky mom, who's really the mother of family ideas. And you can find her at motheroffamilyideas.com. And as we were talking about what to name her show, you know, the sneaky mom, it was just so much fun because Kaz really does know and believe that children learn best when they think they are playing. And it doesn't matter what age they are, incorporating fun into learning is that sneaky mom thing to do that we kind of try to perfect as we go along in our parenting. And I'm excited to have Kaz here, and I just want to bring her in really quick so she can really share who she is and what she's doing, what has really brought her to place. So hi, Kaz. Welcome to your show.
Well, good morning. Actually, it's afternoon for you, isn't it?
It is. So
anyway, I am very excited to be here. I've been a sneaky mom for a very long time, and it works because if kids think that they are having fun, they don't realize they're learning. And that's the real sneaky part about it. And you can teach anything that way. It's not just, you know, how to do math or how to do school subjects. It might be how to sew something or how to draw a picture, or it could be anything, how to sing a song or play an instrument or just how to treat people. You know, there are things like that, too, that kids need to learn because it's not an autopilot sort of a thing. When they see examples and they see us doing things that are helpful to people and they understand that, they're going to try it. And once they try these things and once they know the experience and how that feels, that's a learning experience that doesn't disappear. So it's really a very good way to teach children. And, you know, I've been involved with kids really all my life. I'm from a large family, and I'm the oldest of five. And I've also had years and years of experience working with scouting, over 40 years with both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I've done church groups. I've done after-school programs, all kinds of presentations, things I call play shops in my own home where people come in and we fill all the tables with things to do. But it's not, here's the instructions. It's, what can you do with this? You know, we've got all this stuff on the table. What can you make? And that was one of the best experiences for me, to see how just creating something with their own idea and saying, wow, I think I can do this, and holding it in their hands and saying, look what I did. And we would always take pictures of what they did. It was a fabulous experience because they knew hands-on that they were capable. And I think that that's the kind of a message I want to get out, is that it's hands-on, capable stuff, the I feel good about myself, that's what is going to help our kids get through things. And one of the, even though I've been doing this for a long time, one of the things that really caused me to focus right now is in January, I discovered what was going on in the schools as far as the testing, the standardized, high-stakes standardized testing. And I started looking into this, and even though I had done after school and programs in the schools and stuff, I was not aware of what was going on in the testing area, and found out that we have five-year-olds who now see themselves as failures. We have kids with special needs or English language learners who are, that the percentage of those passing in one area of New York was between 3 and 5%. That's passing? I simply do not believe that 93 or 95% of our kids are failures in any way, shape, or form, no matter what their description might be. That's not a possibility. And we have to do something to change that. So that's kind of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. And I'm going to throw it back to you and see if you have any specific questions, and we'll move on.
Well, you know, here's where you are, and especially this in your debut show and letting people know more about you, you know, yourself, and what is, you know, the journey that has led you to this, because somebody doesn't just wake up someday and say, oh, I want to check on the, you know, high-risk special needs you know, standardized testing results. So there's been such a journey that has led you to become that mother of family ideas and the sneaky mom that finds that way to help kids of all ages learn. So, you know, I would love for you to kind of take us on your personal journey that led you here.
Well, my personal journey that led me.
The fact that you're from a big family and stuff like that. I mean, you've been a mompreneur since 1974.
Yes, I've been doing this for quite a while. Well, it was time for a change. It was time for a change in direction. Over the last year, I've been making changes. And about a year and a half ago, actually, I stopped publishing. I started out publishing my own stuff and doing workshops for kids in the schools and for families and stuff like that. And that was a great deal of fun. I really liked that. I've published 220 books so far. Of those, 22 are mine. And I love that. I love what I do there. But I did take 6 years of just publishing for other people. Mm-hmm. And that was incredible and fascinating. And I made a lot of wonderful friends that way. And we did some really, really good books. But it also got to be overwhelming. And I have another couple hundred books in my own head I want to get out into print. So I decided to make some changes. So I stopped publishing for other people. And then I had to play catch up on all the things that I hadn't gotten done. Those times when I was so busy I couldn't even think some days. So I decided that what I needed to do was maybe just to go back to school and learn some more about marketing, because during the time that I was doing all the publishing, I wasn't getting any marketing done. There was no time to do that. So my website, which had been up since 1999, and used to have like 3 million hits, you know, a year. I mean, we had a lot of good traffic and quite a few sales. It had dropped to where it just wasn't even being noticed by Google anymore at all. So I thought, well, I'm going to take a marketing course. So I did, and I signed up for a marketing course online. And there were two things that they told me at the beginning, and they really made a difference. One was I had to define a very specific niche market. Now, my regular website is everythingfamily.net. So I guess Everything Family was a little too wide a market. So I really gave it a lot of thought, and I came up with the idea of single working moms with two children in school. And that was because that's someone I know, because at one point I was a single working mom with two kids in school. And my daughter has always been a single working mom with two kids in school. So I know how that person thinks. I know how important it is for her to make sure her kids are doing well and that she is able to provide what they need and that they like themselves, that they're happy children, that they're growing, that they're doing what they need to be doing. And so I could identify with that. And at the same time, just any mom with a kid is going to benefit from anything I would provide for a mom that is a working mom, as I described. And then the second thing that I was told to do that really impressed me was that I had to find a problem that this person had that I could solve. And it occurred to me that I had not really been around a lot of people with kids in school recently. You know, my friends are older. And I know a lot of people like that, but I really hadn't been in touch with them to know what problems they might have. So the first thing I did was I started reading mom blogs. And that was an eye-opener because almost every third or fourth or fifth comment had to do with testing in the schools. And I'm going, wow, what's going on? So I started researching testing in the schools, and I have been reading daily now since mid-January. What's going on in that situation, and I find it horrifying. I really do. And, you know, I'm not someone who can political stuff is really not my thing. That's not my forte. But for all the years that I've been writing and all the years that I've been playing and teaching children and doing workshops and all the things, I know how a kid thinks. I know what makes them feel good about themselves. And I think that what I can supply is ideas for ways to encourage children to be the best they can and to realize what their talents are and to feel good about their accomplishments. And my hope is that if they have enough accomplishments, enough things where they can say, I can do that, I know about that, that they're going to have a better sense of self, a better appreciation for who they are. Stuff hits. It will be make less of a dent in how they feel about themselves. So once I came to the conclusion that I needed to know more about that, I decided to talk to some moms who had kids that age and were in the situation that I had originally said this is my target market. So I talked to quite a few of them, about it was 6 to 8 or something like that. And we each spent an hour. I spent an hour with each of them. And in exchange for their time, they each got a book out of the ones that we carry on my site. And it was fascinating. It was really, really great. I got so much terrific information. And then because I was dealing with schools and teaching and stuff like that, I then called up and talked to the same number of teachers so I could see what it sounded like from their side and what was actually going on in the schools. So that's how I got to where I am. And in response to what I could do to make the difference, the first thing I did was to create a 72-page book, which is in a PDF format, and it has more than 500 activities for children. And these are things that can help them feel good about themselves, can develop skills, can help their creative thought processes. There are just so many different ways, and they're in all different categories. And the ideas begin with, like, toddlers, and they go through elementary school kids. So, and by anyone that follows my blog, which is the www.wordofmom, I mean, not Word of Mom, I'm reading your stuff, Mother of Family Ideas. That's funny. www.motherofamilyideas.com. Anyone who just signs up to follow me can download this 72-page book for free. It's in PDF format, and it's full color, and it's a lot of fun. And they're good. They're good ideas. I've used them all. You know, there's nothing in there that I haven't actually done with kids. And I've worked with kids of all ages and all situations. And I think the key is with a child, you want them to learn how to imagine, how to envision, how to see the ideas that they think would work in their head, and then how to create, how to take those ideas, excuse me, and make them real. So, Dory, if you want to talk for a sec, I'm going to get a drink of water.
I'm actually going to take a station break right now. So, you know, go get that glass of water. For those of you just tuning in, we're here on Word of Mom Radio with the debut of The Sneaky Mom with Kaz Winters, the mother of family ideas. And I want to say hello to our show sponsors today, ifnotyouwho.org. Debbie and Alyssa are the mother and daughter team that bring us a powerful company making sure our children are ready for kindergarten. And I love them being the sponsor. I kind of paired them up with today's show because they're here on Wednesdays also with Productive Play, and they do things that are geared for your toddler because only half of the 4 million children entering kindergarten each year are actually ready. And lifelong consequences really follow these children who are unprepared. And ifnotyouwho.org is a free website that includes about 300 easy-to-implement activities that take about 10 minutes or so and use common household items. But they're focused on developing the 5 crucial learning areas kids should be familiar with when they enter into kindergarten. It's available in over 30 languages, and almost any adult, babysitter, caregiver, whatever, can learn quickly how to positively impact a child's future. And again, I love that the shows that we have about playtime and parenting here on our Rotating Wednesday platform are really addressing these issues because, again, kids aren't ready to come to kindergarten. And then when they are and they're there and now they're being subjected to these testings and things like that. That's why I love what Kaz is doing in sharing ways that you can help your child while they're in school feel better about themselves, be able to take these tests and do well in sneaking those ideas in there to make them confident in who they are and what they're doing. And so I just felt that they were like the perfect tag team sponsors for each other's shows. And, you know, you can meet all of our mompreneur sponsors at wordofmomradio.com. You can either hit the buttons for the Mompreneur Marketplace for our show sponsors, or the URL directly is wordofmomradio.com/our-show-sponsors/MMM/. So I encourage you to reach out and meet all of the Mompreneur product and service providers that we have here on Word of Mom Radio. And hopefully Kaz had her drink of water and is back here live on The Sneaky Mom. So
The Sneaky Mom is right here.
I love it. I really, you know what? I was a sneaky mom. I mean, I've shared it on other shows, but, you know, when I was pregnant with my first child, I read an article in Parenting Magazine about housework. A woman with five kids used housework as a reward. Oh, you were so good today. Mommy's going to let you help me clean the bathroom and things like that. So I had organic cleaners, and by the time my kids were 18 months old, they were happily helping because they didn't know these were chores and people got a thing called an allowance until they hit double digits. And somebody else's kid let them know. I didn't let them know. Exactly. I know. Ruining a good thing. But I was that sneaky mom. I would let them help me cook. And my sister-in-law was like, but that makes such a mess. And I was like, right. And then they learn about a sponge and how it's, you know, not alive until it is absorbing things and things like that. Until then, it's kind of in this, you know, state of suspended animation almost. And I think kids eat better when they help prepare, when they're working in the garden with you to keep everything weed-free. My mom did that with us. I did that with my kids. They had their rows, and it was a contest who could keep their rows weed-free.
Ooh.
So all I had to do was water. I was totally the sneaky mom when it came to all that kind of stuff, you know, and I think it is so much more fun. You know, when my kids were young and we would drive, they didn't understand that it was going to take us 3.5 hours to get there. But I could say to them, okay, pick a Disney movie. And let's say they picked The Lion King. It's like, okay, we have to watch The Lion King 3 whole times before we'll be there. So on our drive, I'd say to the kids, all of a sudden they chime out, Mommy, where are we in the movie? And I'm like, well, we've driven this long. We're at Hakuna Matata. And we would sing the song together and stuff. And it was like, well, the movie finished. We have to start it all over again. And that's how I got them to understand the concept of time when they were little, you know, insofar as, well, okay, we're going to have to play the movie all over again, or we could pick a different movie. And wherever we were, okay, we're 30 minutes into our drive, so here's where we would be in the movie. And it was just a way to have fun while we were driving.
Oh, there's so many ways to have fun when you're driving. Just lots and lots of them. Let's kind of back up a little bit here. And I think that the key to kids having fun and learning at the same time is that the Mary Poppins thing, you know, you find the fun and snap, the job's a game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the sneaky mom thing that I really believe works. I've watched it work. You know, my kids learned how to do everything. They knew how to work. They all had jobs that they had to do. They did their laundry when they were little. And by the time they were a certain age, they were doing all of it. But they started out folding socks or throwing things into the dryer or little things like that. So they were always a part of what was going on, whether it was dishes or cooking. I mean, my kids were cooking before they were a year old, all of them. And one of them ended up being a chef for many years. So, you know, those skills that they learn are great. And, you know, maybe that kid with that learned how to cook and did it very well might not have been good at something else that they might have been testing on in school. But because he could do that, he really felt good about himself. He knew something. You know,
right.
And actually all my kids did pretty well in school. But even it's that kind of a balance that we can build. And there are so many things in this world that try and tell them, here's how you do this. Step one, step two, step three. And that's not the way kids learn. Kids learn by hands-on, exploring, touching, feeling, asking questions. And then we can ask them questions like, well, what do you think you might do to get this to work? What are the possibilities you could try to make such and such a thing happen? Where do you think you might look to find information about that? What supplies could you get that might make it easier? And teaching them to use tools, especially our youngest, because my husband, the youngest father, is really good at being in the garage. I mean, I think Justin's first words were, go garage. And they practically lived out there. So he learned how to use tools. And I was doing craft things with the kids all the time, or whatever it happened to be. We had Girl Scouting and Boy Scouting and all those things going on. So there were always kids in our house, always more than were just mine, for sure. But when we asking the questions and letting them know that if at first you don't succeed at what you're doing, instead of being labeled as a failure like the testing system is trying to do, if at first you don't succeed, it just means you haven't asked enough questions yet. You haven't tried enough options yet. You're not done. Keep going. And some of the things that really had bothered me about, even when I was in school, is, you know, coloring in the lines and, you know, you have to make it a certain color. Make this blue or whatever it is. That's not creative. Creative is when it comes from you. It's when I've got a picture in my head and I want to try and get that on paper. And mm-hmm. when you see that picture start developing on paper, and that's true whether you're a kid and you're seeing it or whether you're me, who is 65 and an illustrator. I mean, as those pictures I draw come together and I see them and what's in my head is now on paper, you can't beat that feeling. You just can't beat that feeling. You can't beat the feeling of holding something you've written and seeing it in print. And with kids, it doesn't have to be like a published book, but you could make copies of their work and hang something on the wall, or you could make a copy of their something they've drawn and send it to grandma. Those kinds of things, they seem like they're little, but they're giving attention and certifying that this kid is capable. And I think that is so important. And when they're doing something, and especially when they're doing something that they are very excited about and happy about, that is not the time to criticize what they're doing. Unless, of course, they're doing something that's hurting themselves or someone. That's a little whole different thing. But that's the time when you're going to look for something very specific that you can say, like, I really like the way you use the green on that part of that thing, or whatever it happens to be. A very specific thing, but make it praise. But you don't want to go to the extreme and say, you know, such wonderful things that the kid thinks they walk on water and that everyone's going to treat them like the queen for the rest of their life, because that's not real either. But you want to point out the specific things that they are doing well. I like the way you did that. I like what you made and the part that's here that works this way or whatever that happens to be. I like the way you thought of such an interesting thing to do. Those things are giving them credibility, stuff that makes them feel like they're capable, and that's what we need. And then other things that you want to encourage kids to do is to learn about a lot of different areas. And that means exposing them to a lot of possibilities. So you might want to make sure they get outside, outdoors in nature, and you can look for bugs or listen for the birds. Or, I mean, just in my yard, we have three trees. And I whistle back to the mockingbirds all the time. We have conversations. But kids listen to stuff like that. They like that. They love to see critters that are moving. One day, my granddaughter and I went out, and we just looked at spider webs and sprayed some water on it to see what would happen. And then we came inside, and we spent time looking at books and finding pictures of spiders. We drew some spiders. We made some spiders out of pipe cleaners not cotton balls, but the little craft ones, you know, their colors and stuff, and, you know, put Google eyes on them. Just things like that. So you've made a memory. You spent time together, so they've had your attention. And yet what they've done is theirs, because they're the ones who are doing the hands-on part of it. They're the ones who are looking. They're the ones who are maybe taking pictures of things that they liked. And all of that adds up to capability. They're the ones who are learning about nature, if that was where you were. Other things that make it difference are, you know, reaching out and helping others. And I know my daughter at Christmas, she takes her daughters, and instead of getting all excited, well, they do their Christmas stuff in the morning, and then they go to a homeless place, and they feed the poor on Christmas Day. You know, my kids are not going to forget, and they're not going to forget how that feels. And they're going to know that there is some special connection there. So those are, there's so many things we can be teaching our kids, and it's not just how to read, although that's important. It's not just how to handle math. Some kids don't think math. I know I never did. I can handle it with a calculator, thank you very much. But if you were to give me a math test like they're giving in the schools, I would flunk, you know, and I'm not a dumb person at all. Let them build things. You know, give them recyclable stuff, empty plastic bottles, and all those kinds of things, because they can make the most amazing things out of it. Teach them how. Let them have a budget, manage their own money, earn it. Those kinds of things you can't buy, and they're really, really important things. And when a kid has all of that kind of stuff, if you need to talk, go for it.
No. I'm just chuckling to myself.
Oh, okay.
You know, thinking about my kids when they were younger, and we had a locust tree.
Yeah.
And locusts, you know, they'd make the chrysalis, and then they would, you know, blossom into something else. And I can remember doing, you know, with the jar where you poked the holes in it and things, so they could actually watch. You know, and they would feed it and water it and everything else and watch the whole transformation. But I'll never forget the time they walked into the house with this bug in their head. And I never wanted, you know, I was the cool mom. I picked up the bugs. I was the one at the science, you know, the Liberty Science Center, the museum in New Jersey, and holding the, you know, 6-inch cockroach and stuff, and the tarantula crawling up my arm, and then I'd literally be in the bathroom with my shirt off, like scrubbing my arm with boiling water, calling my mom, you know, and wanting to cry because this thing had been on me, but I was never going to let my kids know that I was afraid of things like that because I wanted them to see the, you know, I would never let them kill things. You know, if there was a bug in the house, we caught the bug and we brought it outside. Because that's where they live, and that's their home, and this is our home, and, you know, and stuff like that. And when my kids were older, it was so funny. I mean, they were all teenagers. We had this spider. Oh, my God, it was the biggest spider right outside our door that every night would make this web where the sensor light was from there to the other side of the house. And so every time the light would go off, the bugs would come. They'd get caught in the web. So my kids would stand outside and make the lights go on so the bugs would wind up in the web. And then Grim had her baby. They named the spider Grim. Grim had her baby.
Oh, of
and
course.
My son comes in and he's like, Mom, where's Grim? And I was like, well, she had her babies, honey. And he was like, yeah, but where's Grim? And I was like, remember Charlotte's web? After the spider has their baby, you know, they die. And Danny's like, Grim!
Aww.
I know, and he was about 15. But it's those things. It's those wonderful things that everything's born and everything dies, and here they were feeding this spider so we could give birth to all these spider babies. And most kids would have killed the spider.
Yeah.
So, you know, and believe it or not, we only have a minute left of your show. So it's counting us down as I'm talking over here. So
it's counting us down.
Next month, yes. What are you going to be sharing with us next month? Now everybody's gotten a chance to get to know you.
Next month, we're going to talk about building a repertoire of I can do that experiences for a kid in a lot of different areas. So we're going to have a whole lot of skills to develop and expanding their interest in different things and helping them to see themselves as capable and able to accomplish and understand new things. That's next month.
I love that. I love that. And I love that I can do attitude because it's like Thomas Edison. 10,000 times somebody said to him, wow, it took you 10, you failed 10,000 times. He's like, no, I succeeded 10,000 times. I learned how not to make a light bulb. So it's attitude is everything, and I like that I can do. So on that note, Kaz, I can't wait for next month's show. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in here to Word of Mom Radio and getting to know the sneaky mom, Kaz Winters. Go to motheroffamilyideas.com and find out so much more about Kaz. And tune in here with us next month for her next show, I Can Do. Until then, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.